You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Good evening, TNT. It's your boy, Mr. Kimmerton. And you are tuned into the best frequency one could tune into on a Friday afternoon, 106.5 Freedom. Ollie, what's going on, boy? It's been a while. And as I usually do, let me shout out people like Carrie V, Kulik, my mom, my wife, Elijah, everybody, shout out your big self. Nothing weird, but in course of immune status, you know, you're bigger than life. So don't take offense to anybody who's struggling with the weight out there. Loving you all still. But the discussion today is one I want us to pay attention to. And engage when you hear me call the numbers. I know most times we are very active when it comes to current affairs. But today, there's a twist in it, and I want you to sit down and relax as we go into it. Yeah? So, you see, today, the discussion, we're going to be stepping into a conversation that is global in nature, but very personal in impact. Migration, communication, and more importantly, how the stories we tell shape the way we think, the way we feel, and even how we treat each other. You see, because in a world driven by media, messaging is powerful. It can build empathy or it can create division. And we can see that in Trinidad and Tobago today. It can humanize a situation or it can dehumanize a situation as well. And right here in Trinidad and Tobago, these conversations are not distant. They are happening in real time. So this evening, we are going beyond the headlines and getting into the human side of the story. I am joined by a dynamic communications professional. Someone who I actually met through, shout out yourself Nakia, through Nakia Chase, my sister, Miss Marielle Dick, with international experience in humanitarian work with the United Nations system. Someone who understands the power of language, storytelling, and it's a fun side to her where she is actually skilled in music and art. I mean, I can't even play an instrument. As a matter of fact, the only instrument I could play is tiffin. You know the song the potters make when you're stealing a piece of chicken, Kulik? That is the instrument I could play. But stay with us as we go into this discussion. And before we peel it back, Mariel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kira. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
And with all the title that surrounds who you are, I want the listeners to get a feel that you are similar to them. Who is Mariel with all the communication title before the humanitarian experience? Who are you?
Mariel is, first of all, a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago.
Pick up that.
You know, I don't want anybody to feel, because you mentioned I have international experience, and I'm not a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago. I am, first of all, a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago. And before that, I am also a child of God. So let's just put that
out
there first.
That. Yeah,
right?
yeah.
I have experience in languages. I'm trilingual. I speak French, Spanish, and English.
French, Spanish, and English.
Yes.
Tell the country hello in all, besides English, any next two.
Hola, bonjour, ça va, como estás?
I like that.
Yes, I am trilingual. My bachelor's is in applied foreign languages. And after I succeeded in doing my bachelor's, I went on to do a master's in humanitarianism and conflict response. So not to sound too academic, but I am also a musician at heart. I play the piano and I play the viola. And I was also once part a member of the National Philharmonic Orchestra at one point in time.
Wow. What is the viola? Well, that's a big...
No. Okay, you see, a lot of people just get mixed up with this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of it as a mix between a violin and a cello. So a cello is the big one that you were just referring to.
Right, a cello, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And most people, when I say I play viola, they'd be like, oh, no, you play the violin? I have to say, oh, gosh, no.
Thank you for correcting that misconception. Yes, that's good.
Yes. So just to touch a little bit on my master's, because I know it was a lengthy title and some people may not know what it entailed, but it's actually a very nuanced master's degree that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it was understanding humanitarian aid. It was understanding something the United Nations calls a triple nexus, the interrelation between humanitarian response, development and peace, and analyzing how different organizations responded to different crises around the world, you know, and even going so far back as the Rwandan genocide, which is a huge example in history.
Yes.
It also entails, you know, how communities are affected by response from international organizations, the different vulnerabilities that are played, the different things that affect how a response is done, you know, taking into consideration gender, age, race, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was basically a overview of what my master's
was.
Yes.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What prompted you or pulled you into that space? Was it something personal, something that you just decided, let me go and study humanitarianism and, you know, end up there? What triggered that?
It wasn't like that at all, you know. Honestly, Mikhail, like, when I left Form 5, I was saying, hey, I want to be a translator because I was good at the languages. I want to be an interpreter. And for lack of better words, it was almost like, it was like a string inside me just being pulled into that kind of direction. Mm. I've always had a passion for helping people. I've always had a passion for looking out for people. And that's how it became a passion. It was just something that was pulling me towards that field.
Yeah.
And for me, it also aligned with purpose. So my passion for helping people and my passion for looking out for people, I realized after it took some time, I realized that it's also my purpose. It's the reason why I'm here on Earth.
I love that. Do you see that response? Because much persons have difficulty in finding what is their purpose on it. I mean, that will be a conversation that started probably before our generation, and it will continue afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see a fellow peer speaking in that light where helping people is concerned. And a lot of us need help. Even I need help. I mean, I forgot my pen home, so I borrowed Carrie View, and I know that she helped me in not seeing when I took her pen. She's looking for it. But in continuing the conversation, humanitarianism, what is the definition of that? Because when I think about it, I think about, okay, you mean making sure our policies are human-centered, but I'm sure for you who studied it,
mm-hmm.
what is the definition that we should understand as a people, what that means?
So I don't believe that there's one definition that you'd find in the dictionary. I think it is multidisciplinary. It means, how does one respond to a disaster? How does one respond to crisis? You know, the nitty-gritty of aid and stuff like that. But it also means preparedness before something hits, before a crisis, you know, comes about. It also means resilience of communities. It also means, for me, and honestly, personally, humanitarianism for me is, if you know, I meet somebody who's less fortunate and he asks me for a bottle of water and a snack from the shop, I will give you the bottle of water and the snack from the shop.
I like that. And afterwards, I probably like KFC afterwards, figure out me. But guys, it time checking for the screen, it is approximately approaching as we count down 6:15 in Capital City. And we are chatting with Mariel Dick as she is a communication professional. And we are going to a break. Stick and see us in from Caribbean. We'll be right back.
Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. With 15 high-impact digital billboard locations across the country, the Big Board Company puts your brand where it belongs. Front and center with state-of-the-art LED screens in the most high-traffic areas across the country, you are guaranteed to be seen. Get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals. With free artwork from local businesses to national brands, we bring reach and visibility like nobody else does. 15 locations, endless possibilities. Advertise with the Big Board Company and get that Big Board impact. Call 723-9595. For more information,
power up your Saturdays with Carrie V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in, you're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Carrie V's infectious personality. Join the fun, fuel the conversation, speak your mind. Saturdays with Carrie V on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Get the story first. Want to know what's happening in news, sports, or crime? Get the CNC3 app. As the story breaks, CNC3 is there giving you the story first on your mobile device. be connected to the most trusted and reliable news source, CNC3. Access your world with just a tap. The CNC3 app. Download it today.
Tune in to Benjamins with Old Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Base, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you. Only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
Vibe City, Sangeet Slam Freedom, CPR Production. Backed by public demand, CPR Production presents the number one play for 2026, Two Fat Fellas. Get ready for a night of laughter, drama, and unforgettable performances at the Central Bank Auditorium. Happening Saturday 25th and Sunday 26th at 8:30 p.m. Tickets are just $250 general and $300 reserved. Get yours now at the Central Bank box office, Demand's Shoe Store in Long Circular Mall, Beachology on Mokrapa Road, K-Squared Outlets nationwide, or online at islandetickets.com. Call 376-5699 or 683-4843 for info. Don't miss Two Fat Fellas. Welcome back to the best frequency you can tune into. You are listening to Mr. Committed, and we're having a very nice, calm discussion with communication specialist, professional, Mariel Dick, as we going be peeling back the layers. So if you were listening before, she told us a definition of what humanitarianism is. But the last one she shared was like, if I could give you a bottle of water because you need one, I will do it. And I think all of us could relate to that. So there's a question I want to pose to you guys who are listening today. What is your definition of, have been pronounced you properly, yeah? Humanitarianism.
Yes, humanitarianism.
And what act did you do today or during this week that will say that you ticked off that box? Give us a call, 625-2257, or send your WhatsApp at 306-1065. What is your definition, and what did you do that you could tick off that box that you did this week that you helped somebody that was in need or a lesser of position, as Mariel well explained it? Yeah? So, Mariel, let's continue our conversation now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, come on.
Good. So, you've worked within the UN system, and what's one thing that people in Trinidad and Tobago has a misconception about the UN and what they do when it comes to helping people, humanitarianism?
I think in my experience, something that I've actually heard, you know, peers or other people in the outside circle say, you know, it's they think it's this uppity organization that comes and, you know, try to, you know, turn things around or stuff like that. And yeah. I'm here to say that it's not like that, actually. In order for the United Nations to work in your country, they have to have permission from the government, first of all. Mm. And now that you know, we're kind of, the organization is moving from providing humanitarian aid, but also providing humanitarian aid while aiding development.
Okay.
So you would see some past projects that they would have done, like, for example, the UNDP, which is the United Nations Development Program in Trinidad and Tobago. They have worked with the government, sections of the government, to improve agriculture, to improve cash-based systems for migrants, you know, projects like that. So I think right now, working in Trinidad and Tobago, they are more development-focused. They are more in tune in working with the government to implement programs that would better the lives of the citizens.
Yeah, I like that. 625-2257 or 306-1065. Give us a call and join the conversation as we are talking about humanitarian, talking about communication, talking about how does it impact your daily life. And as we speak about that, When we hear the words refugees or migrants, we often see it used in a political way. It is politicized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the question is, what's the human side that we are not seeing?
So I think I have to first differentiate between a refugee and a migrant. For those out there who may not know, a refugee is a person who is fleeing their country, who is fleeing from violence, from persecution, from war, first of all, and they are fleeing with fear of returning. They cannot return to their country because they have risk for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
A migrant is somebody who moves from one country to another, well, for whatever reason, whether it be economical, whether it be for a better future, for a better life, or whether it be for family reunification.
Yeah.
And so it's important to make that
distinction.
But also it has some blurred lines. Because while you may be a migrant, you may also be fleeing from reasons that make someone a refugee.
Interesting.
Right? And the reason that it's politicized, as you say, is because when we speak about these two entities, what comes into play is its use of border control, is its use of security, its use of resources of the country. And that's why it becomes so politicized, because it touches into social issues at play. And so that's why it's politicized. But I think what a lot of people are missing, while that has its place, while the social issues has its place, you must always remember that these people are fleeing for their lives.
Yeah.
We are humans. If you were to turn it around and you were to put yourself in somebody's shoes, I am fleeing because my life is at risk and I have nowhere to go and I have to leave. I have to take up my family and leave and move to our next country. What would you think about that? I'm pretty sure you would not even know where to start.
Where to start?
You wouldn't even know what to do. And so I feel like a lot of people are missing that element. They are missing the humanity aspect of it, that at the end of the day, we are all human. We all have our challenges. We are all looking for something better. We are always looking to better our lives. And it's the same thing for them.
So question, in bringing it home to Trinidad and Tobago, we have seen an influx of our neighbors, Venezuelans, within our society. How would we classify them? Are they migrants or are they refugees? Because, I mean, you said the lines are blurred.
Mm-hmm.
How would they be classified?
Well, they would be classified as migrants, and mostly because they are fleeing from economical situations. And since, if you know the history behind Venezuela, since President Maduro became president in 2013, you know, there was a lot of corruption. People were fighting over food. People were fighting over medicine. It was absolute poverty. And so they were fleeing for economical reasons, because they have to provide for their family. They need something. They need substance. They need food. They need water. They need medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you would classify them as migrants.
Gotcha.
However, this is where the line blurs.
Tell me.
Some of them would have fled because of their own political opinion. Because if you tune into the happenings that were occurring in Venezuela, you would see if they were protesting in the street and they were protesting against President Maduro's regime, there were articles in the news where they would just be kidnapped from their home and you'd never see them ever again.
Wow.
So if you had an opinion that was opposing his regime and you were public about it, isn't that fleeing political persecution?
Yeah, I can see where the lines blur.
Exactly.
Colleague, thank God we aren't in that position, because for sure they was going with me. You know, while I understand, and many of us understand, the fact that we have to be humane how we treat these people, because just imagine they're leaving their country, going through the Bocas and coming through those rough waters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's risking your life. But on the flip side, I can't deny the fact that some of them are coming to our country and causing our own citizenry distress.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you recommend we balance that off?
I agree with you. And I would say that yes, it can be said that there has been a strain on our resources. I know there has been some public opinion that, yes, they come in to take our jobs, they come in to take this, they come in to take that, right? And yes, there have been articles, it has been said that they have actually been a part of our crime rate. They have, you know, actually been part of human trafficking rings and stuff like that. Yes, that has its place.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its place in every single country. Right? And I'm not saying this to bash, you know, the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago.
Gotcha.
But we, you know, there has been crime in our country being made part on us.
Yeah.
But, you know, entities at play have been carrying out human trafficking rings, have been shooting up the place, robbery, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is, yes, they have been doing these things. Yes, they have been, you know, part of our social, been integrated partially into our social systems.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to look at the flip side of it. If they were now to contribute and pay taxes, isn't that contributing to our society? Isn't that giving money back into Trinidad and Tobago?
Mm-hmm,
migrants can be very beneficial, and especially the type of migrants that have been coming into Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a lot of people don't realize that a lot of Venezuelans that have been coming here are actually medical doctors, are actually engineers, people with degrees. Mm. And there has been a lot of talk in our health system, oh, there's not enough doctors. The nurses were just on strike the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they were recognized for their skill, if their degrees could be accepted, if they were paying taxes and they were contributing to society, then there's a balanced argument. A plus.
Yeah, okay, got you.
Right?
You know, 625-2257, this is interesting. 306-1065, give us a call, give us a WhatsApp. What is your perspective on that? Would you feel better that if we implement that the migrants are now Venezuelans, and all migrants, as a matter of fact, that they are incorporated in such a manner that they pay tax, that they contribute to the development? Because we have to be fair. We usually will highlight when things are not going good, and we will want to find somebody or someone to blame. But as Mariel just said it, there's also a plus side to the situation where there are doctors, engineers, soldiers, people who are skilled, who are coming over here not to cause any harm, but to cause upliftment, to contribute to the development. And, I mean, if you bring them in well, let them pay a tax and we could all enjoy ourselves. Because tell me this, why would we complain when we see them in the hospitals and they're using our health facilities? Mm-hmm. Then they should be able to pay for the what do you think?
Come on.
So, let me know your perspective. 306-1065-62. My brain went far there because the competition is so good. But, Caribbean, don't worry yourself. I have it right here. 625-2257. Give us a call. Let me know what's happening. And as we continue to have this discussion, it's very commendable of Mariel being here today to share this, because if I'm to look at the media alone to see how we are to, and they are to shape my narrative of how I should feel about the migrants and the Venezuelans, I don't think I may have this level of compassion. Guys, as you are tuning in Capital City, time check, it is 6:30 in the greatest city in the world, 868 Port of Spain, and you are here with Mariel and myself, Mr. Committed. I'm having a nice conversation. So Mariel, mass communication, mm-hmm, conversations. But before we go there, I think there's a call on the line. Let's see what they want to tell us. Caller, good evening.
Yeah, I hear people going on protest, boy. Some more people.
Who going on
protest? Anything.
Well, me understand what you tell them, eh?
Yeah, but the talk in the tongue now is the people going on to protest. They want a new opposition. They want what happened to Bego happened to Trinidad.
Right. Good. And you see, what I like about you is that you have a degree in being out of timing. But that's right. If you're calling back, call related to the topic at hand. All right? Thanks, brother. Caller, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, protest
Mr.
man.
Committed. Yeah, man. Well, Mr. Committed, what happened? The government, like, they had no idea in the system with the immigrants. Because to integrate them back into our society, right? It wasn't structured properly, and it was not balanced for the citizens and the immigrants. So it caused a problem because the contractors, they take full advantage and collapse the economy. Because a contractor came up and they doing my road.
Right.
And every worker was a Spanish. Now he breaks all his taxes. Right? He collect the big money, but who suffered the economy of Trinidad and Tobago? So it was not balanced in the proper way. And they wasn't integrated properly into our society. So they had, they just go foreign with all these things and they don't notice these things, how things being done in different countries.
Yes.
You understand? When you go to see technology, see advancement, see how things being done.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't go on one little purpose and close your eye and come back. You know? So that is the problem we have. Because if you notice something, go in this large shiny grocery, right? It have one of my knees. Mm-hmm. It's only Spanish working.
Hmm. In the restaurants, the Spanish cooking so Chinese food.
It's not balancing.
Yeah.
It's not balanced. So the jobs that we supposed to be getting to balance the economy, it being taken away.
But do we want it?
Hmm.
Well, you see, I will tell you something. The government only does do what the people allow them to do.
Thank you for your contribution, process man. Marielle, what's your take on that? I mean, you could dissect it if you want.
I mean, Nicola had some prominent points. Mm-hmm. And to address what he was saying, yes, he is right. He is right. When the influx of Venezuelans came, you know, it happened in what year that was, 2015? I mean, Venezuelans have been coming into Trinidad since the 90s. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have a history with Venezuela, but that influx started to happen in 2015, right? In 2019, the government of Trinidad and Tobago implemented the registration framework, mm-hmm. right? That was in 2019. Approximately, I think about, when I checked the statistics, I had checked it, not recently, but... Mm-hmm.
Average
statistic, there were about 40,000 Venezuelans in Trinidad and Tobago in 2024. Right? And out of that registration framework, there were only about 16,000 registered. So where the rest went? Right? Where the rest went?
Take a point right there. I think it's a call in the line. Marielle, caller, good evening.
Good evening. Pinal here.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
Well, I only employed Venezuelans indirectly because somebody took a job and they brought one or two Vennies and that kind of thing.
Right.
But because I do talk enough Spanish, I didn't want to get into arguments.
Yeah.
So if you, you know, like you're working with a Vennie in your little group and I employ you to do some work and you bring your Vennie, that's fine. Yeah, you bring who you bring. I have employed you to do the job. But what I have found everywhere that I go is that there's a couple of Vennies, and the people seem to be happy with them.
Right.
Right? And as an employer, at one time I actually ran a business, so I had employees. I feel if you could get along with people and they do your job and you pay them and everything running nice and smooth.
Yeah.
After a while, that's the people you will go for. And they have found their place. And I agree, we should have them integrated. We should send their children to school. We should allow them to pay NIS and this and that and what have you. In fact, it should be a requirement, because how would they deal with a workplace accident?
Exactly.
That kind of thing. Put them into the system. The trial period as to what is going to happen here, that is over.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to be fully integrated, those who wish to stay, and they get the legalities in place. It's time to have them fully integrated. I want to support that. Yeah, man, thanks.
Pinal, thank you very much for your contribution, and that's a solid one. Mario, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he made some solid points, and when that framework happened with registering them, you know, they were allowed to access health, they were allowed to work for 1 year, and it could have been renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened until the end of the time of our previous government, and it stopped.
Yeah.
And recently, they came back and they did it again. I think it was between January, February. It was a month, I think. All migrants, whether you were legal or illegal, were allowed to register.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to do it online, and you had to do some in-person interviews. But the thing that kind of irked me, you had to pay $700 for your registration card.
Is that something that standardized across your world, or that's something unique to Trinidad and Tobago?
I would say paying the $700 has to be unique to Trinidad and Tobago.
It's steep.
Right? $700. You have $700 on your pocket right now, Mikhail?
Well, I don't want to be robbed, so I have an answer. But yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And just comparing it, for example, to what's this country named? Uganda.
Right.
Uganda is the world's third country that accepts the most refugees and the most migrants.
Wow.
Right? Third. Yeah, third in the world. And their system is actually set up where they have a law in place where they allow refugees to be self-sufficient. So when the refugee crosses the border and they register them and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
Now Uganda is obviously bigger than Trinidad and Tobago, so the resources that we have, the resources that they have, is totally different things. And, you know, they would have given them like a piece of land and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the way in which they integrated their refugees into society is not how we did it. We did it on a very ad hoc basis.
And before you go into an ad hoc basis, I think, caller, good evening.
Hi, good evening. I just love this conversation tonight. I just happened to stand, was flipping my channels, and I heard you. You know,
thank you, Madras.
Hey, man. Thank you. I want to say something about the immigrants coming to this country.
Mm-hmm.
We have deep poverty in our country as it is. Jobs are very hard to find. And we have the capacity to help every single one of our local citizens who've been here for generations. I think when I came back here from the United States in 2014, 2015. When I came in, my village of Madras Road transformed within 3 years.
Mm.
Every apartment building was filled with Venezuelans. And we are getting not the top of the barrel, the bottom of the barrel. Women who have no skills, really. They really don't, because I've never seen their skills except mm-hmm. for cleaning and washing. And people saying how the men building houses and doing this. I haven't seen any engineering skills except for manual labor. So I know we're getting the bottom of the barrel. We're not even doctors and lawyers and scientists here.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to get through is this. See, we don't have a vetting process in our country. And because of that, we are losing brain. We have a brain drain. So the most talented of our country are leaving, and CARICOM mm-hmm. is losing a lot of intelligent people, and we're now bringing in migrants who have no skills that, yeah, they're helping contribute to what? Oh, they're going to build a foundation, build a wall, build a window. No.
Mm-hmm.
They're not lifting us up. And I feel like we have recklessness going on. I'm going to give you one quick example, okay? Well, not recklessness, but I'll give you an example of how intelligent these people
yeah.
are.
Quick,
are
go ahead.
I will make it fast.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor has a son who's 10 years old, and I've known this kid since he was 4. He's Venezuelan. His mom has an Indian boyfriend, and now they have a child together, but they're not married, and she has 3 kids or whatever. You know, these Indian guys love to hook up with these girls. While
all right,
kids.
Okay. Thank you for that, Madras. I mean, if you could call back, but keep the convo a little tighter, we'll appreciate it. But Mariela, I don't want to put you under the bus, but I mean, mm-hmm. from what you could have picked out from
mm-hmm.
the two callers who would have called before, I mean, would you want to respond?
I mean, I respond to what she is saying. She says she's not seeing the skill.
Yeah.
But is the skill being recognized officially?
Hmm.
They have degrees from their country. Is our government processing their degrees to be able to say, oh, yes, I could give you this job in this hospital?
Yeah.
She's saying she's not seeing the skills. She's saying that they come in and they take in the construction jobs and this and that. But as you were mentioning to the other caller before, we're not doing it. So they're taking it. And the drive and the determination and the What I'm trying to say is Venezuelans are very hardworking, eh? Very, very hardworking.
I agree with that. We agree with that. Let's take this call to see if they're hardworking with this contribution they're going to make here. Hola, good evening.
Hey, a pleasant good evening, my lord. Chatting by here, my prem, my holy
what going on?
Hi, day, man. I'm going to hear somebody, or they're talking about somebody die.
No, man. Probably the wrong channel. But I mean, we're talking about the Venezuelan humanitarianism, how we could help them, how you feel about it.
Let me shout out, Baba. I just beg bless all the brother and the Lord above,
bless
and the
you,
knows, government and police, everybody, and we had to go with the flow, brother.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. That's interesting, man. Oh my gosh, that's a real blessed place. But yeah, you were saying.
Yes, and
they're hardworking.
Yes, they are very hardworking people, and Trinidadians and Tobagonians are also very hardworking people.
Indeed.
But at the same time, we are lazy.
Yeah, some of us are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Some people have government jobs and they want to be clocking out by 1 o'clock. The job function 4 o'clock. Right? And I mean, and I would do the same thing. I mean, come on, I'm ready to go home.
I love the honesty. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right? If I want to go home, but Venezuelans are hardworking people. Mm-hmm. And what we all have to provide for our families. But it depends on who is going out to get it. Who is going out to get it? And first come, first serves. If they're going out to get it and they're going and they're looking for the job and the job is there and they're showing their employer that they are hardworking while a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago is not showing that same thing, who do you think they will go with?
The best buck for money. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I like that. And as we continue, 625-2257 or 306-1065, send your WhatsApp contribution so we can continue the conversation. And Marianne, from your experience, I mean, when we separate effective communication from what we would call harmful communication, when it comes to a crisis, what is the difference?
So, effective communication in a crisis, I would say, is it's clear, it's accurate, it's timely, and it's centered on people's needs, right? It could help calm fear, it builds trust, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Harmful communication, on the other hand, spreads miscommunication, it spreads misinformation, it creates confusion, right? And what I would say is, the right message can protect and empower people, while using the wrong one can create fear and vulnerability. Right? So let's take a local example.
I like
something that happens very frequently during the rainy season. Floods. And we all know when it's orange level, yellow level, we're looking out for the closure of schools. Right, because people coming from far, they travel, a child travel without her parents in tongue and she in south. Right? And it's flooding. Why it is the notices has come out last minute on the closure of schools and now people scrambling, I have to get somebody to come pick up my child, I have to do this, how I go and get my child from school and this and that and this and that. That's not effective communication at all. Why the floods have been happening for years, why it is it can't have been said the day before they leave at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock to go to school, why it can't be said the day before, sometimes it's even said the day of. And people are left in limbo. They're left with no choices at all to be able to go and pick up their child from school or leave work. And they have not made provisions for such. That is not effective communication at all. That is actually harmful communication. Communication, you're being proactive. You have to prepare before. We talk about disaster preparedness. That is part of disaster preparedness. Communication is part of disaster preparedness. And it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And to make it on a global level, you know, if you take into consideration the Gaza war that has been happening, when you compare the news outlets, for example, Al Jazeera, I love Al Jazeera.
Yeah, they are.
They stand up for the middleman. They stand up for the lesser man, you know, and they show what it actually is. Whereas other news outlets, you know, they have headlines and they go with the headlines and they create fear. And so, when you compare the two between who is effective and who is harmful, you know, I would say Al Jazeera is a bit more effective in that way. So that's what I would say is the difference and why it's important in such situations.
Thank you for that. And guys, if you are just tuning in, you are tuned to 106.5 FM Freedom with your boy, Mr. Committed. And we have a good conversation here. And the convos is going and flowing. We'll go into a break. Stay committed, Mr. Committed. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Space, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you, only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
Power up your Saturdays with Gary V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here you're not just tuning in, you're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Carrie V's infectious personality. Join the fun, fuel the conversation, speak your mind. Saturdays with Carrie V on Freedom 106.5 FM. Every weekday morning, Tusca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. With 15 high-impact digital billboard locations across the country, the Big Board Company puts your brand where it belongs. Front and center with state-of-the-art LED screens in the most high-traffic areas across the country, you are guaranteed to be seen. Get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals. With free artwork from local businesses to national brands, we bring reach and visibility like nobody else does. 15 locations, endless possibilities. Advertise with the Big Board Company and get that Big Board impact. Call 723-9595. For more information, get the story first. Want to know what's happening in news, sports, or crime? Get the CNC3 app. As the story breaks, CNC3 is there giving you the story first on your mobile device. Be connected to the most trusted and reliable news source, CNC3. Access your world with just a tap. The CNC3 app. Download it today.
Welcome back, TNT. It is approximately 10 to 7, the top of the hour. And stay tuned, don't move yet, because at the top of the hour, CNT should have their major news broadcast. But we are tuning in to a nice conversation with Mariel, and you guys have been engaging so nicely. For those of you who have been keeping it short and neat and contributing wisely, nice. And for those
they
of you who are not.
Have, eh?
Yeah. For those of you who are not, cheerio. But we're going to discuss now, taking a different tune to it, because as we come down and we go into a softer part of the conversation, you are a musician,
mm-hmm.
and you play the viola.
Viola.
Okay, I'm working on it. How has being a creative musician, how has that shaped the way you see the world as you are in communication and in helping people? How has that contributed to it?
I would say, first of all, it definitely has, eh? Because it reminds me that information alone isn't always enough. People need to feel what is being said for it to truly resonate.
You can repeat that for me?
People need to feel what is being said so it will truly resonate.
Okay.
Right? And the arts and music teach you how to tell human stories. When people are composing symphonies, that's a human story, that's emotion. One of the composers maybe went through heartbreak.
Yeah.
And they are expressing themselves in that. And when we listen to music, we feel that's what is being said in the song.
Yeah.
And it resonates.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like when I listen to love music, I just remember getting licks. Sorry, really, if you need love, but clicking on what's talking about, I'll be off air, but you go ahead, you go ahead. I like where you're going with this.
And it allows you to connect without, what's the word? It allows you to connect without judgment, right? Mm. And whether it's through tone, whether it's through storytelling, imagery, creativity helps you move beyond just reporting the facts and instead building understanding and empathy. So when I approach communication, especially around sensitive topics, I try to bring that same mindset, being accurate but also intentional about how people would receive the message and experience the message.
Yeah.
You know, it's about drawing the two. How would people feel about this? But also I want to get my message across at the same time. So that's how arts and that creative side comes into play.
That's amazing. That's well put it. I don't know what to say again. 3061065 or 6252257. Call and make a contribution. I mean, you heard as she said, information is not enough.
Information is not enough.
People need to feel what is being said.
Mm-hmm. For it to truly resonate.
For it to truly resonate. I want you all to go home with that. Because it's a powerful statement. It might be short, it might be small, but it is talawa. It means a lot. Because sometimes we tend to say, well, I inform the public.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's probably a press release. But if you don't bring it in a storytelling form as we are in our society, then people won't remember that.
Exactly.
So, and that premise, how would you describe how we communicate with each other at a peer level,
mm-hmm.
and then how do we communicate when the country is under a crisis? How would you differentiate the two?
Well, first of all, I love how we as citizens are trying to be communicate. Eh?
Yeah,
I love it.
Me
I
too.
Love it. We say what we mean, and we say what we want to say. And
yeah.
You know, we say it straightforward, and I love that. I love that. And in terms of on a national level, the communication in terms of bringing out policy and how it's being done, I would have to say that as a youth,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm confused. And the average person, like we say, take for example, the Dragon gas deal that was happening with Venezuela.
Yeah.
At one point in time, it was happening, and then boom. It never happened again.
Yeah.
And then you hear talks about, oh yes, it's happening again. But first of all, people don't even know what that gas deal was about. People don't even know the behind the scenes. And what I appreciated about Minister Soetjang,
mm-hmm.
he came on social media and did a video explaining the nitty gritty of what it was. And everybody in the comments was like, oh my gosh, I appreciate this. You explain this to
me. I remember that video.
In layman terms. I really understand what was going on. So when press releases happen and when things happen about policies and this, there is no backing up of what's the word? What's the official term? You know, when they come on live TV.
A press conference.
Yes, a press conference, yeah. Right. It came out of my brain just now.
That's fine.
There's no backing up of that for people of the media to come and ask, you know, because people of the media are representing us.
Yeah.
They come in and they ask in the layman terms, so how does this affect the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago? It's not working hand in hand. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And just to draw reference, and I don't mean to draw this reference, but for example, when COVID was happening,
mm-hmm.
there was a press conference almost every single day on how many cases it was,
yeah.
what citizens supposed to be doing, what they're not supposed to be doing, and everybody was informed.
What was the famous statement that we all know today?
As of midnight tonight.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody was informed, whether you had access to a TV, whether you did not have access to the radio, everybody was informed. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case right now.
You know what? And I would want to even go further to say that if our officials would ventilate issues and make it digestible for the common man, if that's your target market,
mm-hmm.
the ones with intellect will understand.
Exactly.
So I like that because it will help those who are in office today to probably improve how they present the information. So I appreciate that. And guys, as a protection caveat, she did not say that she prefers any particular party. She's talking about policy and how things are done. Just to make it very, very clear. 625-2257 or 306-1065. Call and make your contribution. Let me know, what do you think? So in this segment here, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
In 60 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you are faced in your own press conference and you have to talk to the nation about how we should view migrants.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell the nation in 60 seconds, Mario?
I would say we are humans first. Before anything else, we are humans first. Information travels fast, but understanding doesn't always keep up. Whether we're talking about migration, crime, the economy, or everyday national issues, the way we speak about each other, the way we relate to each other matters. And behind every headline is a person, is a family, is a story, a set of circumstances that did not start with a statistic.
Mm.
And if we lose sight of that and we risk solving problems in a way that ignores the people most affected by them, then we have no real solutions. And that's what I would say. I would say we are humans first. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a reason for doing something. And if you tap into that and you tap into understanding why they are here in the first place, maybe you would change your perspective. Maybe you wouldn't say, well, they're coming to take everything and they're draining the resources. They're doing crime and they're doing crime. But they're just trying to provide for their families.
Yeah, yeah.
We as citizens of Trinidad and Tobago need to tap into that empathetic side. We all have challenges. We all have struggles. We are all going through something.
I appreciate that. And that was meaningful. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you for taking time out of your day to come on Freedom 106.5 to have a conversation with me and with the nation.
Thank you so much.
It has been insightful. It has been very calming. I mean, it educated us on things that we did not know and things we should consider. And I also like the fact that when you started that you mentioned that you are a child of the Most High God, and that is very impactful as to what we do. Because when she spoke about her purpose and her passion aligns and helping people and how she defined what humanitarianism is for her, this is what we need. Real conversations, real authentic ones. And catch me here next week, Friday, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. as we have another conversation that's hopefully as good as this, and is something where we have to incorporate, where we can talk about issues outside of a political lens.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where true progression will happen. If we continue to see it from a lens where this is my side or your side, then we will continue the spinning. So with that, I want to leave you guys with a message, as she indicated. Information is not enough, but you have to be able to make the person feel what you are saying. And remember that people are people, so a headline started with a human being and not just a number. And guys, in true form and style, we can't stop, we won't stop being the best we can. Cover yourself this weekend. We pray for no accidents on the nation's road. And I pray none of you guys become any victims to any crime today, this weekend. The news is up next on the top of the hour by CNT3, the major news broadcast. It has been my pleasure. And we go in. Catch me next week. All right, guys? It has been nice. I'm gone. Bye-bye. Take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.